This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Kelvin Yee. At the start of this month, Japan made laws to combat online stalking and harassment. Some of the things this revised law covers includes repeatedly sending messages to someone on their social networking site like Facebook and persistently posting on someone's blog. This law was in response to a case where singer Mayu Tomita was nearly stabbed to death by a fan. She had earlier made complaints to the police and asked for help after receiving death threats on social media several times a day. The police then didn't take any action. So, as I was researching this, I was curious to see if Malaysia had cyberstalking laws. We don't. What I also found was a blog post by someone who was stalked and harassed online. Her name's Cindy. So today we'll be speaking to Cindy and also to a lawyer about the laws that we have to deal with cyberstalking. Tay Cindy, that's Tay with T-E-Y, not T-E-H or T-A-Y, is...
a travel and fashion blogger at taycindy.com. That's actually my full-time job right now. I used to run a social media team in a digital agency. I kind of live between Malaysia, Singapore, and Germany this year, so I can't commit to a full-time job. But my passion is in blogging and social media.
And so the reason you're in here today is to talk about your experience dealing with cyberstalking. And you happened to write a blog post about it back in 2014. Could you tell me the story of what happened?
Right. So I had this avid reader. Let's just call her Y.
And that's her acronym for her name,
yes.
W-H-Y.
Yeah, W-H-Y, which is funny because, like, why do you stalk me? But she has been reading my blog for many years. It's all normal and stuff, right? But back in 2014, I was in an event selling pre-loved items at Publica with other bloggers. So this woman approached me with her husband. She's really friendly and smiley, took pictures with her. So everything was normal. And when I reached home, she added me on Facebook, my Facebook profile. And so I approved it out of courtesy.
And this is your personal Facebook? Huh?
Yes, my personal one. So I have a page, I have my, you know, Twitter, Instagram, so on. From then, I start to see a lot of resemblance, all of her posts, you know, because now she's in my Facebook friend list. I can see what she posts. And the resemblance is really scary. If you go to my blog post is dated 13 July 2014, you will see the pictorial evidences. A lot of people saw it and they told me, yes, it is scary.
So by pictorial, meaning that she was copying your Instagram posts or something?
Yeah, my Instagram posts. So whatever I wore, I ate, my eye makeup, even... So if I took a picture of my left eye, she will also take a picture of her left eye. I don't even know how to explain. It's just the same thing, even the caption. But then a lot of people told me that I should be flattered because you're an influencer. So you did your job right. You influenced her, you know. So I thought, okay, maybe I should be flattered and I let it go. Until my cousins start to approach me, my family members. Cindy, should I approve this person? Because I don't know her, but she's adding all of us. And she seems so friendly on your profile. And I say it's up to you. But then she added my friend's husband's boyfriends on Twitter. And they are the one who come and tell me, you know what? Now I know what you're feeling. This is creepy. Why is she following my husband? You know, that's when I deleted her from my Facebook profile because, of course, she can access to my friend list. That's how she find them, I suppose. And so when I deleted her, things got really, really ugly. That's when she got really furious and she started Series A of tweets. This is called this Series A. So she wrote things like, she called me snobbish. You think you're very pretty? Okay, fine. So I hope you get raped and murdered this year. Things like that. And she says she has a black heart. So I was scared, but I was thinking, you know what, maybe she was just angry. So I went home and I spoke to my then-boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend, and he said, come on, she's a girl, like, what can she do? You know, it's not that easy to harm somebody. And so I went to bed feeling uneasy. The next day, I received a call from a woman calling my office, asking for me. She said she's from a recruiting agency, offering me a job. So at first I thought, hey, opportunity. So I talked to her and I said, yeah, I'm Cindy. I confirmed that I am Cindy, you know. And when I hung up, I was stoned for a while. And then I thought, wait a minute, why would a recruiting agency call my office to offer me a job? This is really weird. And so I went to her Twitter and I read the same thing. So she said, haha, you know, all these things. She tweeted this 8TV quickie host. Do you know Tay Cindy? Do you know where, you know, any information about her? Okay, you know what? I was really scared because I don't have an evidence, but I assume it's her, you know. So I posted a status on Facebook asking for help. So that's the first time I actually reach out to people I know or do not know and say, I am a victim of cybercrime. I'm not ashamed of this. I need your help. So if you have any information about why I had to use her real name then, please help me because I need this information to go to the police station. And surprisingly, you know, the world is huge, but Facebook makes it really small.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody's connected. And I got somebody who has her IC, her address, and everything, you know. So I took all of this after work. Immediately, I got somebody to walk me to my car that day because she already confirmed where I work, made the police report. And then the same night, I tweeted about it. And I say, I made a police report. You know, like, hey, why? I did this. So be careful. And she started series B of tweets. Oh, Cindy, I'm so sorry. So sorry. Can you please like retract the report? I apologize. I promise I won't contact you again. You'll never hear from me again and all this. So you would feel maybe she insaf lah, you know, she's sorry. But no, because I received emails and comments at my blog post, different names, Mandy, you know, Mandy and whatnot, but the IP address is the same. So I screenshot everything, and this is what the policeman told me. The more information you have, the more we can help you. So everything from then on, I screenshot because you don't want her to delete it, and then they'll be like, you're making stories, is it?
Mm.
You know, so I screenshot everything, and yeah, again, you can see everything in that blog post. It's just really freaky, lah. The following day, her husband called my office.
Mm.
So that confirms that it was his wife. Because I didn't have evidence that it was her, you know. She said she's from a recruiting agency. So the husband called and said, I'm so sorry, my wife is not stable. It's my fault, I didn't accompany her enough, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what, I'm not going to deal with this. So I called my ex-boyfriend to deal with him. And it worked for a long time, you know. It worked for a long time that. So at the end of the day, I think making a police report and whatnot, yeah, it's a must. You have to have those. But from my own experience, I feel at the end of the day, you have to personally be careful, take smart moves, not emotional moves. You know, you have to be smart and strategize, like think what's the best way to handle that situation. Not everything, just throw to the policeman, that's their job.
Is it a big issue here in Malaysia, this cyberstalking thing?
I have been contacted, quite a few of people, asking me for help and what they should do. That's when I realized that a lot of people are experiencing this, but they dare not speak up. So I'm a very different person. I will do whatever it takes to catch you, so-called. But I realized a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid that once they do that, that person, if they find out, they will do even worse things to them. And they're afraid that they won't get help from the policeman. So the question, I think, lies in what can the policeman do? What if they found out that I made the police report and they start to do even worse things to me? So that is their fear. And I think if in future there's a law or some whatever it is to make people feel safe to voice their opinion, and yeah, I think that would make this internet a safer and better place, because you can't stop these people from doing these things, isn't it?
After this, I continue my conversation with blogger and influencer Tay Cindy. I talked to her about her experience at the police station and how they couldn't really do anything besides taking Cindy's report. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Kelvin Yee. Today, we're talking to blogger and influencer Tay Cindy about her experience with cyberstalking. Someone pretty much harassed her online by sending her messages repeatedly, calling her office by trying to contact her friends and family. She felt unsafe, and so she made a police report. But in Malaysia, we have no laws against stalking or even cyberstalking, so the police couldn't really take any action. This was also Cindy's experience.
So when I went to the police station, they found it really funny. You know, there's a bunch of people, oh, there's a case, and a lot of male policemen, female policemen came, oh, apa yang happening ni, you know. So I made the story, I told them, everyone was entertained, but they say, tu lah, who asked you to tweet so much about your life on Facebook and Twitter? And I said, this is my job, you know, and they said, okay, fine. So I asked, what can you do? Can you help me? Can I get you to like guard my house, you know, be my bodyguard for a few days? I can tell you where I live. And they said, no.
And this is a genuine request because you were really afraid.
Yeah, I was scared because she didn't know where I work. So maybe, you know, she can, I was worried she will hire someone to really do something bad to me. So I told the policeman, tak boleh buat apa-apa ke? Macam bodyguard at sikit. What's the service that a policeman can provide if I'm the victim? So they said they cannot do anything unless something really happens to me. So if something really happens, like I got kidnapped or betul-betul berlaku, then police kita tahulah nak cari you kat mana. But then again, it's really funny because then it will be too late. That's what I think, you know. But then you still have to make the report, they say. You have to make it because otherwise if something happens, how? You're going to ask your father to go and find her? No, right? So that's what I got. And that's how I also learned that I have to help myself. Me.
Throughout this whole ordeal, how did it make you feel? How were you feeling then? You probably were feeling a lot of fear, as you mentioned.
I think when you tell this as a story, maybe the listener feels like, rape, murder, whatever, you know. But imagine if you are the one who received that text. You are a woman, you go to work by yourself, you know, and or it's your loved one. So receive this email and say, I wish you're rape and murder. And we are in Malaysia. There are a lot of these kind of cases. Some are published, some are not. Yeah, I felt really scared, uneasy and all that. And at one point, I got so fed up, I asked myself, why do I have to suffer this? What have I done? I have the right to live freely and, you know, to feel safe and happy. Not like, it changed your body language. It changed me. You know, when I step out of the office and go to cold storage, I realized myself that I was looking around. Were there any like dodgy cars? After that phone call, you know, and the following week. So my colleagues, they were scared. My ex company, she also called that company asking for a job. You know, she wants my job. So she asked this person, do you have a job in marketing? Blah, blah, blah. Do you know Cindy, by the way? What does she do? How is she performing? And that's when HR downstairs came up and said, Cindy, you know what? I think you should be careful. Do you want me to walk you to your car? Again, two companies. You know, how can you not be afraid? I mean, I was, but a lot of people will tell you, you should be flattered. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay lah, you know. So, again, I think also there's a difference between like hate mails and when somebody really take that extra step to find out where you are and call and ask about you, I think then you can't see this as a joke anymore. Yeah, you can. If you just belittle it, no one can help you lah. This is what I think.
And how have reactions been ever since you started, ever since you wrote that blog post? How have people come to you for advice, or have people simply brushed it off, like you said, just take it as flattery?
No, once I wrote about that post with picture evidences, because when you say it, they can't imagine, they think it's like, you know, whatever. But when they saw the post and her tweets, the series of tweet A, tweet B, and the IP addresses and stuff, then the comments, everything changed. You know, people start to give support. This is where you can go. They gave me links. You can take a court restraining order or something. So they gave me all this, but I didn't have to go to that stage, which is good lah, you know. So people were really helpful. The only group that was belittling the whole issue was the lawyer forum one.
Have people come to you for advice or, you know, to for help, to talk about what happened, like if any similar cases happened to them before?
Right. So I had followers on Instagram. Usually they direct message me. That's the most that I got. Some emailed me and said, hey, by the way, I've been stalked by this girl. Some are high school friends, so they know who she is. It's very tricky because it's a mask. They create fake accounts, like three of them, and they write like things like this, like, I want to murder you, I want to kidnap your son or whatnot. All I can advise them is to make a police report and be careful. I don't know if that's unfortunate, but I also wish that I had more help and where to go when I experienced that. I imagine if my ex-boyfriend was there at that time, I wouldn't know what to do, honestly. I really wouldn't know what to do. And so I feel sad and sorry for these girls as well. You know, why would anyone be so free to create so many fake accounts and disturb one's peace? You know, especially when they're mothers. And up till today, I have two blogger friends already who contacted me about why. So until today, you know, they still say, Cindy, this girl is bothering me now, asking me about you.
Wait, this is 2 years after it happened, and yeah, now it's still recurring.
Yeah.
So it's not resolved yet.
No, one is end of, so it was really quiet for a long time, and then December 2016, and one, like, January this year. So they contacted me and said, one's a mother. And so I really advised the mom to stay away and don't lie and don't acknowledge, because I think she needs attention. So once you give it to her, I'm afraid that she will be the next victim, if you get what I mean, you know. And I don't think it's worth the risk if you're a mom and all this. So, yeah, it's not really solved, but because I'm living in different countries, I just think, yeah, maybe I'm kind of safe for now. Yeah.
But not everyone would have the same opportunity to move around like Cindy does. And the police were unable to act on it because there simply aren't any laws to deal with this. So I then spoke to lawyer Fong Cheng Leong. He wrote an article about the need for online stalking and harassment laws. But of course, we do first need to be clear of what stalking is exactly.
Well, stalking has various type of definition if you look at it legally. But in layman terms, it would be an unwanted obsession against a person on a person. So stalking is, of course, a very natural human nature. But it would be unacceptable if it creates, for example, fear or emotional distress or alarm in a certain person. And stalking nowadays also comes with harassment. I mean, you can always stalk a person, but if you harass that person through your stalking, then it becomes an something a person can take action against that. But in Malaysia, that we have a problem here is that there is no specific law to govern stalking. Whereas in some countries, there are specific law, like for example in the US, specific law to govern stalking. And in certain countries, instead of regulating or governing or making an offense, stalking an offense, they make harassment an offense. So if you look at harassment, there are, of course, two types of harassment. One is the direct harassment, is where, you know, for example, I send you a text message every day, or I call you every day, or I turn up at your house every day. That is a direct type of harassment. But nowadays, there are a lot of indirect type of harassment. So what they do is they contact, for example, they don't do it to you directly. They contact your friends, your family, your siblings, or your colleagues at work. You know, or they could be saying all sort of things to them. Some disparaging things or even some things that are not disparaging.
Could you provide some examples of actions that look like stalking? Because casually right now, it's very like, if you're just having a conversation over a cup of tea, for example, it'd be like, oh, let's look at this person. Oh, why are you stalking their Facebook? The word stalking is very casual, but when is it more serious?
So if the example you're given just now is a very natural type of, you know, human nature type of stalking. I want to know more information about you. It comes to a serious stalking is when, for example, I turn up in front of your house or I turn up in front of your workplace. I may not be, you know, in, in the premise, I may be just standing outside on the public access. I will be there, for example, the time you come back and, you know, the time you leave, but I won't say a thing. So that is a serious form of stalking. But of course, if you make, for example, a police report, the police will first ask you, is, did he make any threats? Was he at a public area? So that is a public area. Why? How can we say that? You know, how can I determine whether he is actually stalking you? So even, for example, you want to take a legal action against that, you hire a lawyer, send a letter to demand. His response would be, for his lawyer's response or his response would be, I was in a public area. I can do whatever I want in a public area. So in terms of taking a step further to be able to sue them, then there must be, for example, some action that is unacceptable.
We have to take a quick break, but after this, I continue my conversation with lawyer Fong Cheng Leong. We find out more about the laws you presently do have to tackle harassment and stalking. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Kelvin Yee. Today, we're talking about cyber stalking. Earlier on, we heard from blogger and influencer Tay Cindy about her experience being stalked and harassed online. Now, we continue our conversation with lawyer Fong Cheng Leong, who gave us an idea as to what actions constitute stalking. What about cyber stalking? Where is the line drawn?
Internet, if we look at the direct stalking, again, it must come with harassment if we talk about, you know, stalking. The direct harassment would be, for example, I send you all sort of messages every day. I'm on Instagram, you know, it's a public Instagram. I will comment everything. I will say all sorts of things. Through email also, there's one case which I heard of is a friend of mine. What she received is, for example, random text messages through email or SMS that doesn't make sense. So she would, for example, send, okay, we'll copy a conversation from someone else, and he will just paste that email and send it to her. To her, it doesn't make sense. So that is some form of a very, minor type of harassment. But a more serious harassment would be, for example, I download every of your pictures. I put it on a website, for example, and then I will come accompany it with all sort of, you know, disparaging message about it. Or I would download all your pictures and I create, you know, an Instagram account of it. That is one form of harassment. But of course, harassment must be in a repeated form. So if, let's say, I download one of your pictures and I put it on, let's say, a website, that does not amount to a harassment. It must be a repeated type of action that only amounts to harassment.
And it doesn't have to be messages that are necessary threats, right? It can be just repeated random conversations or repeated random texts sent to a person. They don't have to say things like, I want to kill you and I hope you die.
I have cases where person would call in the older days when you have don't have Facebook and don't have those social media account, people would call to your phone number, to your house, for example, or to your, let's say, in earlier, later days, your handphone. What they do, they don't say a word, they will just brief, let's say, for example, brief on the phone, and then you'll be like, hello, 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 who's that? And then they'll be calling in and out every day. So it gets very annoying, of course. And some ladies, of course, you'll be like, oh, what's going on? It creates emotional distress on these people.
You know, what avenues or what laws do we presently have to tackle this problem? Just based on national policy, is there anything that we can look at?
Well, there is the Communication Multimedia Act, which has a specific action for harassment. Specific section for harassment. But unfortunately, that is in respect of online communication. Stalking harassment can come in two forms. Comes in online, offline. So if it's a fear, and that, of course, for example, that online communication is nowhere, for example, is a form of harassment, I cannot use that section to take action. And only that section, only that law in Communication Media Act has that section on stalking harassment. Of course, if the stalking harassment comes it's a bit overboard. For example, I stepped into your house or your place, you know, your property, then there is the thought, then of course there is an action for trespass, which is also actionable. Otherwise, if whatever, for example, I do an indirect harassment, I went online and say all sort of bad things about you, then of course there is an action for defamation. Then that is the other avenue. So to stop these people, there are two ways to go about it. One is you make a police report on that, you know, whatever incident. You need to give details of, you need to collect evidence, you need to you know, mark the dates and the time, record it if possible. If, for example, which also happens very often, is the police report, the police does not take action against your report for a whatever reason. So a lot of ladies, one of the ladies who informed me is she make a police report, but the police asked her, was there any threats made? And in her case was just random messages coming in all sort of time and places. The police didn't take any action because, you know, there's no direct threat. And two, if that doesn't work, then you need to, you may want to consider hiring a lawyer, for example, send a letter of demand to that person if you know where that person is. And if it's, for example, like the blogger's case, it's just random people who, you know, with all sorts of nicknames coming in to say all sorts of things. So that wouldn't work if that person is unknown. But if that person is known, then of course it's good to have a lawyer send a letter of demand to the email, the person personally, and tell them, you stop or I will sue you. So otherwise, these are two legal means you can take. But if you look at the traditional way people do is they call their big brother and call the others and answer the call and call them to stop harassing, or call the father to stop harassing me anymore, or call harassing my daughter or harassing my friend anymore, and sometimes that works.
It's just quite sad and quite strange also to see that we don't have any laws to deal with stalking, because that seems to nip the bud before it becomes anything like harassment, right? What models can we look at? You know, for example, countries like Japan and Singapore just introduced cyberstalking laws.
Singapore subsequently in 2014, introduced the Protection Against Harassment Act. So there was a legislation to say you cannot harass someone and cause, you know, emotional distress, alarm or fear. Otherwise, you will go to jail or you will get fined for it. So people get, when harassment is, you know, regular, there's a law against that, and you can actually file a complaint, and police can use that to take action against those people. So, but in Malaysia, we do not have such law to prevent harassment. But fortunately, last year there was an introduction of the tort of harassment by the federal court. So the federal court held that in the old days, there was no specific law to say you cannot harass a person unlawfully. But now you can actually take action against a person for unlawfully harassing you. So if you look at the stages of the case, the progression of the case, initially at a court of appeal level, they equated it, that harassment, it was actually a sexual harassment case where the lady sued the person, ex-colleague for sexual harassment. So in that case, the court says, yes, sexual harassment, is that a tort? Yes, court of appeal says that you can take action for sexual harassment as a tort based on the tort of nuisance. You have been a nuisance to me, you can sue that. But if you look at the tort of nuisance, if you look at the ingredients of tort of nuisance, is that you must prove you suffered a mental health distress. So basically you have suffered damages in that way. So to prove that mental or suffered that damage, it must be a very serious type of damage. You broke down, you couldn't get to work, you have to be hospitalized, you got to stay in the hospital for a long, long time. So to prove that is very difficult, because harassment doesn't come one shot. It comes in over a period of time. It could be a period of, for example, you know, 1 week I've been calling you, and then I'll be quiet for the next 2-3 months. And suddenly I come back again for one time, and then I went quiet again. So it can be a whole year period for, you know, only I do it once a month. So every time you say, okay, I'll forget about this, and then they'll keep quiet, and then they'll come back again, and then the persons get stressed again. So in the federal court decision, they specifically created this tort of harassment, which does not require the high threshold of a tort of nuisance. So you basically don't need to go and call a doctor, go to court and say, yeah, I have examined this lady and she suffered, you know, this and that mental condition because of that harassment. That is good news for us, because we have now an avenue for the victims to take action against these people.
Do you foresee such cases regarding cyberstalking and harassment increasing, and how well or ill-prepared are Malaysians in dealing with this challenge?
I will see that it will increase. Actually, there are a lot of victims who suffer silently. In my course of work, I always get calls or emails from people telling me that they have been harassed. A lot of times I don't meet them because I only give them advice on the phone. And usually it's very... One thing about going to court is very expensive. So the sum of a few thousand ringgit to them is not worth that money, or something they cannot afford. So, and of course, the usual advice I give is that you need to go to make a police report. You mean you can make a police report, or if that person contacts you, you can tell them, if you contact me again, I will make a police report and I will make sure the police follows up on that. So usually the threat of a police report usually it would stop that harassment from coming in.
Of course, while there are yet to be laws on cyberstalking and harassment, there are some things we can do to try to prevent it from happening. I asked blogger Tay Cindy if there was anything she would have done differently in hindsight after being harassed online.
There's one thing I would say: don't simply approve friend requests. Even if you have met this person once, like how I did with Y. So you can, but that's why Facebook has all these options to allow you to, what information do you want to share? You can choose to hide it. My mistake was to put my workplace in my Facebook profile because I thought I only add people I met before. If I never don't have a face to the name, I won't. So I thought she was very friendly with her husband. I thought it's fine, you know. So that's how she know, oh, you work here. And then she confirmed it. So I would say be very wise about what information you share. I know it's hard because like LinkedIn, for example, you use that to, network. So I know it's hard, but try to, for example, not like influencers. You go to an event. You need to promote that event, right? Live. Okay, I'm at this toothpaste event and you tag that place. For me, I always make sure that I will promote your event on the same day, but not on the spot. So I'll get to my car, I go home or anywhere, and then I will do the live, so-called live tweet or Instagram post. I think that helped.
That was Tay Cindy. She runs the blog TeyCindy.com. That's TeyCindy.com. If you want to read her post on her experience being cyberstalked, you'll find it there. And also thank you to lawyer Feng Cheng Leong of Feng Cheng Leong & Co. for talking to us about the laws we presently have, or rather don't have, on stalking and harassment. If you missed any part of this program, you can find it on our BFM app. You can get the app from the Apple Store or Google Play. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.